in the mind. Zikr is the only command that comes without restrictions of time, place, and amount. Every other ibadat is either restricted to time, namaz, asar time, asar namaz, or place, hajj. So every other ibadat restricted to time, Ramadan, or place. Zakat, once in a year. But zikr has got no restrictions to time, to place, to person, to posture, to the state that you are in, no restriction. It's the most effective thing to ward away the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. It's the most effective thing. And we see what's going on. We don't need to ask. More or less, we know what's going on. Everybody knows. So it's a time that we get into zikr, into the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when something would disturb him, then he would get into namaz. So what is more disturbing than when the commands of Allah Ta'ala are being grossly violated, brazenly broken down, shamelessly they are being just trampled shamelessly. There are azabs that Allah Ta'ala postpones for the hereafter. But there are some azab that, apart from the punishment that is destined for the hereafter, person gets it here as well. So one of that is when wrong is done and brazenly, openly, casual about the whole thing, you can see the command of Allah Ta'ala being trampled, nobody is concerned about it. So then we all are exposing ourselves to trouble. So one is the commands of Allah Ta'ala are being violated. One is the disrespect and disconcern to parents. That also, apart from the problems that are in store for you in the hereafter, you get it here as well. And the third is zulm. Any form of zulm. And apart from the punishment that is in store for the hereafter, you get it here as well. So some wrongs, you have to be extremely careful. You can't be around, can't be a witness, you can't be an accomplice, can't be around at all. See, there are wrongs, right? There are wrongs in situations. And people say, what's wrong? I must be abreast with the information. Must know what's going on. And then someone knows a little bit of Arabic, they will say, وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ أَحْوَالَ زَمَانِهِ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. He doesn't know what's cutting, what's going around, then he's counted as a jahil. But in order to take in information, you need to be able to digest it. That information needs to be agreeable. So information can be likened to food. Some food is agreeable and some food is not just agreeable. There may be some venom, some toxin in that food. And once it strikes you, then it's a real, real massive problem to flush it out of the system. Sometimes the effects of it can last continuously. So what should you be taking and what should you be avoiding? You will say, what's wrong? Can miss your whole demeanor can be missed, can be messed up, direction in life can be messed up, with an abundance of information. So you needed to have that level of digestion to be able to manage it. And you don't have that, then you are doing something good. Now, like I tell the students, when they come first to the madrasa, then there's a lot of adab they will show to those ustads. Lots of adab. And stay them 2 years, 3 years. Then say, we're not very far away from the ustad, now we're almost in par. A little bit further, now we've overtaken him, right? We'll have to respect him because he's a ustad. So we'll respect him. But anyway, he is not at our level in ilm. So that's the general take nowadays. And that take is so, so poisonous that it just destroys you entirely. We'll be observing namaz, everything, but it destroys you. Our elders say that the first qadam, you see, this knowledge that we call academic, the other we call spiritual. But the progress is subject to fana. And fana, I was trying to work out what's the similarity or what's the wording in the hadith for fana. So I found it clearly, alhamdulillah. We call it tawazu. Now without that tawazu, you can't progress. Try what you want, do any amount of zikr or whatever, but you can't progress. Because you don't have the tawazu. And the tawazu is like how you get play-doh. So when there's that play-doh, you can give it the shape that you want. But now the person is stuck in his ways, he thinks he knows it, and the sheikh doesn't know, sheikh is backwards, he doesn't have this information. So then, he can't benefit. He can sit here till Qiyamah, but he won't benefit. Until he doesn't soften himself. Sheikh says, night, when it's day, listen to him. Just listen to him, because his understanding is better, the level of taqwa will be greater, that's what he must believe. It may be that he is not too great, but that's how the murid is supposed to be taking it. There are some requirements for the murid, some requirements for the sheikh. One person, Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that I observed one chilla in Lohari, right? Lohari was where Hazrat Noor Muhammad Chanjanvi, Ali Sahib Rahman Sheikh was. So I observed one chilla there, and alhamdulillah, I managed to do 125,000 zikr every day. Then he went and said, Hazrat, this is just only because of your barakat. So Ali Sahib Rahman, I told him, this is the grace of Allah Ta'ala purely, but this is how you must understand it. It is the barakat of my Shaykh. Right? You need to appreciate it in that way. Like how your parents, so you tell your parents, the good that I see in me, prosperity I see is because of your barakat. But the actual picture was that it was the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, but because they were the conduit, they were the means for you to come up, so you can't stop thanking them. And to the level of appreciation that you show, accompanied with humility, then you progress. Appreciation, but no humility, then you haven't understood what's appreciation all about. You haven't understand the point of appreciation where you don't have humility. And this is the qadam, first qadam. I'll stop first. And I see it miserable. No, nobody's got it. Very few have got it. So you can talk and talk, but then you don't see the desired amount of progress. Why? There's no humility. A person can tell the sheikh you are wrong, unfair. You can say it, but you can make it out that this person doesn't have the trust, doesn't have the humility. So he can't progress. He can do whatever, but he can't progress. He will have some problems in his life. And that can be seen from here, how he's behaving. You can see it, alright. This is how his person will get knocked out just now. Sooner or later, he'll have a problem. Right. Abu Mihjan Saqafi, very, very brave Sahabi, right? Very brave. In the midst of the battle, he's apprehended by the Amir, and the Amir puts him in chains. See the respect this people had. Hafiz Zamin Shaheed, then you get his silsila coming down, right? So in his silsila there is one person, he's a Khalifa, and there is a very, very influential Amir in that sector. He's an Amir, influential, very wealthy. This Khalifa is mashing him down in the view of everybody. He's the Amir, he's influential, he's also a Khalifa, but this Khalifa is mashing him down in front of everybody. Now he's taking it, accepting it. And then one day in the quiet he told him, "See, you can hit me, you can correct me as much as you want. But now unfortunately I'm appointed as the Amir of this place here. When I'm appointed as an Amir of this place, then to have the administration going right, then people need to see me with a little bit of respect. If that is lost, then the administration is lost. Otherwise, anywhere else, you can hit me, smash me, correct me, I don't mind. But just the respect that he is also the Khalifa of my Sheikh, the level of respect that is shown. Now this I see grossly, I don't see it. The tawazu is not there, the level of confidence is not there. Let's say the student, he feels that. Came first with adab. Then it was easy to mold him. Came above, now you can see it's becoming difficult. And then even a little bit higher, then say, now I can't do anything. I can't do anything about this person here. I tried, and that's all that I can do. The doctor also says after some time, now he's in Allah Bakh's hands, right? So here we can see it clearly, it's not in our hands now. So he is now imprisoned, he's in chains. The crime that he had committed was he read some couplets in praise of wine, right? Now you must know and understand the Arab culture, right? Imagine that more than 360 varieties of wine. So a wine for every day in the year. So that's how they were drinking like fish, right? So now when they want to talk about something, or they want to pray something, or in love, they talk about wine. In Persian also, when there's something about love, then they'll talk about wine, right? Why? Wine? Because they say, Dama Dam Masta Kalandar, right? Must means, well, you know, in Gujarati they say Masti, make too much mischief. Must actually means drunken. So, but why do they liken drunkenness with love? Because when there's love, then the love just takes you. Then you don't apply your reasoning. So that love is a level above the norm. See, one is the standard, right? This is the law, right? And one is love. So the love is above the standard. It's a standard requirement. Do this, right? But what's above that? It's love. Now why it's above the standard? Because the road to progress requires that you don't use your reasoning. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala, and you, in that state of intoxication, just doing it. What do I, aage peeche kuch nahi soch rahe, ye Khuda Ta'ala ka hukam hai, isko baja la raha ho. Void. Whatever, who says, you can say, let him say what he wants to say. He doesn't want to say, let him not say what he wants to not say. I'm carrying on. So, that man is so soaked. And now is the time to prepare, see, get that. Get that level of qanaiyat. Running up to Ramadan and khuda kare ki koi mahroom na rahe. Mistakes are mistakes, but then just drop the mistakes. move on. See what the Shaykh desires. He understands some things that you don't understand. And sometimes he may not spell out everything, but what he would like. See this muhabbat, what he does to the person. As Shaykh Sadi Rahmatullah says, that we are in a caravan or proceeding towards Hajj. So we saw a youngster, and the youngster, we thought he's off, you know. Sometimes he's jumping, sometimes he's singing, sometimes he's crying, sometimes he's shouting. So we said, this is really, some 1-2 screws are not right. So, just then now, traveling, and reached up to Makkah Mukarramah, and the guide, the Muallim says, look, see the Kaaba Sharif. When the Muallim had to say, this is the Kaaba Sharif, he says, Churasi Bakuhe Dilbar, Churasi Bakuhe Dilbar, Pasipar Jane Mustar. See, when you come to the house of the beloved, then lay down your life. The thing that was most precious in your sight. Can there be anything more precious than life? Nothing more precious than life. Everything is precious, valuable. But the most precious thing is life. Without life, you can do. Without life, you can do anything. So, Barasi Kohe Dilbar Basipar Jane Mustar. When you have reached here, the house of the beloved, now give away your life. Lay down your life. Mabada Bare Digar Rasi Ba'i Beqarari. Right? That perhaps you may not get the occasion to come again. This is the verse of the last. Now this is the time you have come to the house of the beloved to offer yourself. And just then he shrieked, said, Allahu Akbar, is gone. But say, what do you say? Mata fi hubbillah. He died in the love of Allah. Can you find anything, something similar? So there's a discussion now, then what's better, right? To be in your the right frame of mind, you know, to be composed and say things, or to be beyond composure in love to say things. So a lot of Sufia, they have given their opinion, someone say no, to be in love, someone say no, to maintain the composure. But Hari Sahib Rahmatullah, he says, he was an expert, right? Really. You have to, but just that he said it in simple words, so simple the words were that the normal person would say, what he's talking about. But now, you got a taste of this thing, and then you say, this man was really very deep. And he just hid himself within the words, you can't make out the person. So he says, throughout your life, then remain within the parameters, remain within the framework. You, in your life, remain within the framework, within parameters. But when it's a time to go to meet Allah Ta'ala, then go into love. Then just offer yourself. Then there's no parameters, then you're offering yourself. But now, at that time, if you remain within parameters, then that will prevent that flow of love. And now it's that love, and it must be such a love, such a high level, like an intoxicant. Allah do accept me. On the occasion of the Hajjatul Wida, there were about 9 or 10 camels that offered themselves. Kulluhunna yazdalifna ilayhi bi'ayyatihinna yabda'u. All of them are rushing. This occasion, the day of Yawmun Nahr, right? Yawmun Nahr, the most auspicious day. Yawmun Nahr, in the plains of Mina, at the time of Qurbani, at the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these animals know it, right? We can't get a chance like this. And it's Hajjatul Wida, the farewell Hajj. We're going to get a chance again. You can imagine now, Muhabbat ki beqarari ka kya shaan hota. What has been the ecstasy of love at that time for that animals to. We would like to have been that animal slaughtered at the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that's supposed to be the, at the time, you know, at that opportune time, you go off in intoxicants, in that state of extreme ecstasy. Ecstasy for Allah Ta'ala, for His love. Hazrat Ji has to say that that love is such that for other things you just pray for it in general. Right? But for muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, Allahumma rzuqni hubbak. Why Allahumma rzuqni hubbak? Because as though you are sustained with love. When we say sustained with love, then you can't do without it. You can't do, you know, sustenance can you do without it? From the morning till the night, what you are striving, what you are working towards? To sustain yourself, right? So like the importance of sustenance is in your eyes, then the sustenance of love is even greater. So you see this Abu Mihlan Saqafi, we're talking of love, appreciation and humility. Just humble. Humble yourself. Put yourself down. Let him do what he wants. Let him say you what he wants. Let him do what he wants. Then, but then with a good heart. Lord, you can tell me what you want. One person came to the Mount Sami Sabrahmatari and he says, what's wrong in discussing these matters? So it's about 1910, 1915 in India, when the political arena is extremely, extremely hot. Different political groups, they are working, you know. First time now in India, Indian history, the Indians are going to get their freedom from the tyranny and the zulm of the English, the first time. So they're working towards their freedom. So this political thing is carrying on, and Mawlana, it would seem like he was neutral, although he felt perhaps the Muslim League was the better option, but he wasn't supporting anything actively. Information comes, that he will answer in the light of the information that is received. But actively, he wasn't supportive of anyone. So anyway, this thing is carrying on. One politician comes in, perhaps he's an alim, that he wants to discuss. So now, see, we feel, you know, discussion, everything very good. But what was Mawlana's answer to this person? He says, you see, you can have one of three situations. One is ifada, one is istifada, and one is munazara, right? Ifada, you want to pass on, you want to teach. You want to teach someone, you want to pass on some good. If you have come to teach me some good, by all means, you can teach me. But then you mustn't expect any response from me. You come of your own. I haven't come to you. You came of your own to come and teach me. So you may do so. But don't expect me to say yes, no, I support you. Don't expect me to say such a thing. And if it is that you came to benefit istifada, then that istifada is not right of you. Why is not right of you? Because you are already canvassing for a party. Canvassing. Hey, support this party, support this party, support this party. Canvassing. And it will only be right for you to say support the party when you are convinced about the righteousness of the party. You know they are right. Then you can encourage, right? You're certain about it, right? Otherwise, لَا تَخْفُ مَا لِيسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ. You're not certain about something and you're promoting the thing. Are you doing the right thing? You're not certain. If you're certain about it, then you can. So when you're certain about this thing here, then there is no hesitation and no doubts in your mind. Then what's the need for you to come and ask me? Istifada. See, ifada, istifada. See that? One is ifada, to teach or to pass on, and the other is to ask for some guidance. Now, if you were lacking guidance, you didn't know, then before you could canvass and before you could push all these things, you would have asked. But now if you're asking now, then it's not your place to ask, because you're already promoting the thing. And the third situation, you see, munazara, you want to have a discussion, then the discussion requires that there must be a degree of informality, and apart from informality, there must be some degree of compatibility. I must be compatible, and I must be informal with you, for me to tell you, right? I can tell you, I'm talking nonsense. Now, you didn't bring about that level of informality. You didn't work towards being compatible and say, come and correct me. It's a right of you. Work towards being compatible, work towards being informal, and that informality will be viewed by the Shaykh. This person is informal, this person is working towards being compatible. You can see it from his mannerisms, his approach, his behavior. You can see it. When you see it, then you'll want to tell him, right, this is not right. Wear kurta like this. Don't wear kurta like that. Keep your hair like this. Don't keep your hair like that. Right. Wear your topi like this. Don't wear your topi like this. Then the Shaykh finds a platform to teach the person. And if he doesn't find a person like that, then he can't teach him, because he doesn't feel the compatibility and the informality. See this da'wah and tabligh and all. We just want to give bayans, right? We don't discourage it, because there's no speakers. That bayan doesn't mean that you are competent. The unfortunate thing is, people are giving bayans, and they begin to feel after some time that we are competent. It doesn't mean that. So the beginner in tasawwuf would say, don't give bayans. Because now that's the thing that will come in your mind. I know the subject here, I am competent, I can deliver this speech here. That's the thing that will come into your mind. And that will become an impediment on the path, because I know it now. Who is he to come and teach me? That's how the mind will play with you. Now, we are overlooking it because there is no speakers at the time of Jummah, nobody to pass it on. But then the downside of it is that person that is giving the talk, he feels to himself that I am competent enough and I can. That's the downside. So the right thing then is, see, our elders speak about Hajj, right? Talk about the Hajar Aswad. And they say it's got such a magnificent effect that the type of heart, the type of mind you come with, that Hajar Aswad will just stamp you. If you come in with the muhabbat of dunya, it will stamp you. If you come in with the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, it will stamp you. Now they say, hey, there's a major problem here, because the Hajj is faras, you can't avoid it, and you can make out that your heart is not right. Understand? Hajj is faras, but you can make out from your little experience that my heart, mera qalb ka hal abhi sahi nahi, is not yet right. Then how do you reconcile? So I said, this is how you reconcile. Qadam qadam par, at every step, Allah said, I'm not right, please you correct me. Again, that humility. See that, what was the missing link? Humility. That thing will join you up. That humility will join you up. But then you must show it to your mannerisms, you must show it to your conduct, your behavior. Say the Shaykh, do as you want. Shave off my hair if you want. Do it like that. I tell you, how many people are prepared for that? How many people are prepared? Because these habits that we've got, it is too attached to the heart. We feel and we strong about it. So, see, carry on. Carry on then, move on. Let's see how you're going to move. See, so you have brought about an obstruction on the path. And you feel that you're progressing. And you're not at a level. See, Ra'yul Alili Alilun. You are still under progress. You know, on the road, right? The work in progress. So your work is in still progress. That work in progress doesn't mean you have progressed. You're still under progress. You're still progressing slowly. It will take time for you to progress. Now the unfortunate thing is we think that we have progressed. But the progress only comes when there is that deep level of humility, appreciation, and fana'iyat in you. Then, you know, And the sign for that is that the Sheikh feels, furthermore, Tanya Sabah is traveling, see. But I'm saying, everybody feels, I know it, I can do it. But you don't have it. You don't have the understanding, you don't have the clue. Right? I'm giving a bayan here, right? But in my mind, I must smash this person down here. I must score points against him, show him. Is that a bayan? You're speaking the truth, right? Maybe his beard is not right, so you're saying the right thing. But is that the forum to score points, to spite? Well, these things of Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi al Munkar, people don't understand what they are killed. That is why Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib says, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, there's so much of work being done, but the benefit of it is so less. See this verse here. فَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ وَسَرِّحُوهُنَّ صَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. Look at this verse, right? Now it's a time of separation. So, there may be two situations. One is a situation where طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ. Right? One is when you have had some level of intimacy, right? When there's intimacy, without any type of obstruction, this intimacy, then you have to give the full mahar. No obstruction, and you have some level of intimacy, then you have to give the full mahar. Right? But now, there was no intimacy. Right? And there is a separation, there's a divorce in place. What do you do? So then there'll be two situations. One is where you have mentioned a mahar. So, alright, making nikah for 2 Kruger coins. Right? So now I think, hey, is it right to say just 2 Kruger coins? Because I don't know that Kruger coin is like a standard, or it will vary from Kruger coin to Kruger coin. I don't know, right? Whatever, Allah knows. They write the 2 for 1 Kruger coin, that's the mahar. So we just say that, carry on, right? But now, a nikah is like a contract. And in the contract, there mustn't be any ibham. There mustn't be any information that is concealed. So if it's concealed, it's not clear, it's ambiguity, then it's not right. There must be no ambiguity. That's a contract, right? So anyway, now, coming back to this point. So there is a separation in place, but there was a mention of mahar, that for 2 Kruger coins, I want to make nikah to you. And unfortunately, before any type of intimacy, there is a separation. Then, فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَدْتُمْ. Then give half. Then give 1 Kruger coin at the time of separation. But there was no mention of any mahar. Right? There was no mention of any mahar. Then, فَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ وَسَرِّحُوهُنَّ صَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. So I say, the unfortunate thing is, we read the Quran, we teach the translation, but how many of us take it to heart? When we read it, we'll look at it like this. Hamare faide ki kaun si baat hai? Where can I take my things, you know? So the Quran Sharif has become like, Quran Sharif or the Hadith, what has come like? It's come like, where can I get mere matlab ki baat? Can I get things for myself? So, the wealthy person, he also wants his matlab from the Quran Sharif. If the poor person comes up to him, so he will say, you know, the Quran Sharif says, la yas'aluna an-nasa ilhafa. They don't beg persisting. You don't understand the Quran Sharif. See what the Quran Sharif is saying. Right? And the poor person, when he'll come, he'll say, atu zakah. See what the Quran Sharif is saying. Give out zakat. So, har admi ne apne matlab ki cheez ko Quran se nikala. So then, you're not going to progress in the understanding of the Quran. Take it from me, you know, because you're looking at the Quran Sharif with the wrong vision, with the wrong sight, with the wrong understanding, with some level of prejudice and bias. So you're not going to get it. Tell me, ask me, I'll tell you you're not going to get it. Allah will just close it. Yeah? The Quran Sharif also says it. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُ. You have some level of pride, then I won't give you the understanding. You may just learn the passages, the verses, but the true understanding, the right application, I will move it away. Sa'asrifun ayati alladhina takabbaru. So we talk about one time, we need to emulate. For Allah Pak says, someone just hold for his feet, hold firmly. Leave your own thing, whatever mistakes you made in the past, just drop it out. And just grab someone's feet. He says it's denied. He says, do this, just do it. As long as it's not haram, do it. Sometime it may be a mustahab, he says, leave it out. Leave it out. Because that's for your own Islah. As the Shaykh Hamdan writes, that my Shaykh, towards the end of his life, I've heard some Parkinson, you know. So, I used to do the writing while he is dictating. So that person, Mulana is writing, I thought now, he has reached at such a level, now he's got the Khilafat, that's endorsed now. But I was shocked, I was surprised, Sanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah tells him, besides your faraz and sunnat and muakkada, leave out all the mustahab, all the faraz, leave it out. Everybody say ghayr muakkada, leave all that out. Now, today's Mulana say, hey, what he knows? We know our research, you know, do this, limma, ghafra, jumma, I know, what he knows? Just raise Muslim Mulana. Keep the mustache. I know it. That's today's Mulana. And Shaykh is writing while his Shaykh is dictating. Leave all that out. Now, I was shocked. I was shocked that what is the Shaykh saying? Then after some time, then I realized that this person was on the brink of ujub. He would have just fallen into self-admiration. And Shaykh very nicely, conveniently moved him away. He moved him away. Why, where are you falling into? Why? No, the Shaykh has got that side, he understands. See, like a doctor would feel the pulse and say there's something wrong with the heart. You know, I was in Madina Munawara, in Hakim Abdul Quddus, rahmatullahi alayhi. Sheikh of he's a Khalifa of the Sheikh. And he was also the Hakim, the Mu'alij. So I had a relationship from Dioban with him, I had a friendship. So I'll go a little bit in Medina, I'll go then just for the fun of his Hazrat Zara, Dabs ko dekh lo. No intention. So I went first, gave me some powders now. The Hakim powders is a bit difficult. Before Fijr like this, after Fijr like that, 10 o'clock like this, hey. I left all the dawas after 1-2 days. The next year I went again for Umrah or Hajj. So just for the fun of it, I went again. I was feeling the pulse. So I said, dawadi, when I gave the medicine, he was cardiac ke liye tha. It was not supposed to be just decorated on the shelves there. For some, he made it out, it was shocking, he made it out, that I didn't take it at all. Anyway, he did get angry with me. So that year that I was there, so the ladies got to know that this Hakim Sahib is here. So my uncle tells me, just call him, let the ladies see him. So he felt the pulse of my foe, my father's sister. In 5 seconds, he says, she got heart problem. But she's laughing, I don't have any heart, no problem, no pain, nothing, no difficulty in breathing, nothing. He felt like, you know, you got a problem. On the return, she went, what they call it, ECG, yeah, whatever. And they confirmed. And I think in about 4 months, she passed away. 3 months or 4 months, she passed away. Again with the heart. So he was so powerful. So now, the fun that is related to that person, he knows from the symptoms, all right, this person here needs to be corrected like this. This person, what he needs. But then, is left to the patient. The patient is compliant, then it's easy to work with him. Just make the maneuvers and you'll work out. And he's not compliant. Then he finds a problem now. How do we work with this person? See, that Shaykh's heart is like Ra'ufur Rahim, compassionate, loving. But now He can only show it to a certain level if there is some compliance. But if there isn't that compliance, how is it over? Otherwise, the Shaykh himself is supposed to be very, very compassionate and loving. He has to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he's going on that line. So we come back to the story of Imam Thami sahab rahmatullahi. Now he's traveling with some of his khulafa, Al Khaja Madzub sahab and some of his muridin. And on a journey, Imam Thami sahab his demeanor, his mood would be different, very relaxed, very calm, very courteous to the people around, murids or non-murids. But it's a journey now, 2 day journey. I'm going to shout this person here, then the whole police pura safar kharab ho jayega. Can't shout. So the stranger is sitting next to Mola. And Mola talking to him, no beard. Mola talking to him like normal, like lovingly, respectfully. Now, in these trains you have a long stop, and you have a short stop. The long stop can be till about 8 minutes, 9 minutes, like major stop, like Delhi now. You stop there, so you're going to stop. So comfortably you can make your wuzu, perform your namaz, and jump back into the train. So they all call the azan. And now they're waiting for this chacha here, that Mu'ala was talking to, for him to come and join the namaz. So Khaja sahab, he's suggesting to us more time, this person takes a liking for you. Why don't you ask him to join up? So Mu'ala says, he's heard the azan, he knows that namaz is for us. Right? Then what's the need for me to give an invite? Now the Tablighi Jamaat Gashmir, please don't take exception to this, right? There is some understanding to this. Understand, the person is such, he's a mujaddid. The mujaddid calls towards Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't chase people. So he's got a level of understanding. He knows what strokes, what situation. He knows the strokes. Now you don't have that level, and straight away start jamming. Say, what Mullah knew? He wasn't inviting, you got the person straight for namaz. He didn't even call him for namaz. What did he know? That's 2 days. Little bit knowledge, it will jump too much. So anyway, Khaja sahab can say, you can aapki baat to sun lega, maan lega. He'll listen to you. Because there's a friendship that is built up. So Hadith said, if you've got so much of love for the person, then you invite him. So he said, aap hi nahi bula, tumhe kis tarah se bulao? If you are invited, how can I call you? Anyway, ended up there. Now Khaja sahab rahmatullahi, his work was moving and all. His position was such, okay, in the day of English, he went to the highest level. You can't become a judge, you can become a deputy. So he was at the highest level. But Khaja sahab made out that in this all this type of professions, legal professions, right, there's going to be some discrepancy, something that's not right. So he requested, I just quit the job, you're going to something else. And he managed something else, became an inspector of school. Right. He left the job, very high ranking job, and he went. But now, his love for Mu'ala so much. See that he went to the level of, like I say, love. And then love, then you don't make use your reasoning. Now he's earning, practically he's earning, in those days, like 100,000. Right? There was a lot of money. At that time, about 10 rupees you could buy a Kruger amp, 10 rupees. So that's what he's earning. Understand? So now, he left that job for 1,000. From 100,000 to 1,000. That was love. You see, when you say love, that's what love. Mahabbat tujhe khud adab-e mahabbat sikha degi. What love? Then you're not looking at 1 plus 1 is 2 and 2 plus 1 is 3. Then the love is just carrying you. Came down. Now Khaja sahab, this is another one story of his, before I come to the other story. So Khaja sahab rahmatullahi is in a conference. The Viceroy of India has convened a big, massive conference for all the people at that level, at his level. All of them now, they want their suit, boot and tie and all that. In honor of the Viceroy to get his attention. Khaja sahab wore his kurta and whatever turban all that, he went for the meeting. call now, he's with the job, so he hadn't yet quit the job. So he went with the kurta, with the turban, all that. The viceroy went to receive him personally, not any other one. He went. And he says, you see, Tune to shahana kapra pehna. You wore a king's robe, king's garb, right? And these people here, it's pointing towards the rest of the crowd, to gulami kar rahe hamare. They are slaving themselves to us. And showing that they are slaves, they wore our clothing. See, showing that they are enslaved, they wore our clothing. So they become our slaves. And you wore the clothes of a king, a royal garb. That's why I'm showing that respect. But anyway, that high level conference is taking place and the azan is going. So Khadas just took, he stood up, said, I'm excusing myself in front of Mars. Viceroy gave the permission, is gone. Now all those other people that were seated there, the deputies and whatever position, they also said, hey, we wait for namaz. So anyway, after the namaz, they start shouting, but you need to go for namaz, you could sneak away slowly, gently move away for namaz, why you have to make an announcement there? Now they had to do it, why? Because the viceroy would have felt that these people are not faithful to the religion. So he would have discredited them. So now, so that they could get that recognition from the kafir, they have to go for namaz. Said, dekho unka iman ka kya hal. Anyway, so he's asking Khairat Sahib Rahmatullahi, but you could have just sneaked away, gone for a namaz and come back. Why if you remain on? He said, in murda jismo mein kis tarah se jaan phoonko? In this dead bodies, there was no other way left for me to instill some life. Because now I asked for permission, you people had to just come and throw the line. There's no other way to get you for namaz. It was the only way, the only time, only thing that was available. So I pressed that button to get you people. Anyway, Khairat Sahib had that level of informality, right? Everybody can't do that. You need to build up that informality, then you can talk. Thami Sahib also had that level, right? Sometimes the islah is such. Yeah, nikal jao. Khairat Sahib was the first attachment, and Hazrat is telling him, you move out, get out. So he moved out, he put his musalla right by the entrance. He says, Dekho, this is your government ends here in the masjid, and mine starts off on the street. So I will carry on the street, and you carry on here. Hazrat had a laugh and called him back. But that informality has to be built. To speak like that, we need to have that informality. He complied, but he gave it, the way he gave it in the poetry, that has smiled and called him back. So anyway, coming back to the story, so now he's now taken a reduced position as an inspector of the schools. This person here, Khairat Sahib. Now Khairat Sahib has to go this state, this country, this province, this town, to go and see the standards are right. He meets up with the same person here. Hey, now you see your nice beard, kurta, turban, namazi, tahajjud. So what happened to you? He says, you know, that day when I was traveling with you people, right? Namaz time, and you all left to perform the namaz. I felt myself like a shaitan. And all khuda ke bande, and they all wait for namaz. And I'm like a shaitan here, not even having the decency to go and perform namaz, bow my head down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I felt terrible at that time. But then it was my pride that was holding me back. But then what really, really moved me is Mawlana's demeanor, the respect, the courtesy that he showed to me before the namaz and after the namaz. That just left me, just smashed me down. That though I had violated the command of Allah Ta'ala blatantly, I heard the azan, I saw your people getting up, making wuzu, performing namaz, but I was totally disconcerted. But in spite of all that, Mawlana showed me that concern, the courtesy, the love, the respect, that just broke me down completely. From that day, that one day I missed out. After that, I didn't miss out my tahajjud also. Now, that level of tabligh is different. You have to have that level of understanding to apply this type of tabligh. So we're coming back to this insert Abu Mihzan Thaqafi rahmatullahi alayhi, right? So now, he's written some poetry in praise of some wine. The Amir heard about it. The Amir chained him up. Now the midst of the battle, and there is one person in the enemy line, Rustum, that's what they say. Rustum, and he's just chopping the heads. Muslim says this. In the meanwhile, he's chained and he's fasting, and he's getting the news coming in, right? 2 days past now, is what he's doing. So he's pleading to the people that are keeping him in captivity, the Amir's wife and other people, please, please, just leave me, only for this one day, let me go and do what I need to do. And I promise you, in the name of Allah, that I'll come back. Now they are scared about the Amir. The Amir chained him up. How can we release? Said, don't worry. If I am killed, to Amir ka kaam ban gaya, then Amir sahab, what he wanted, he achieved. And if I survive, I'll come back and chain myself. He went up straight to the Rustum, chopped his head off, came straight back and fastened himself. But you see this level of compatibility, humility, submission for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the thing that gets Islam rising and shining. That humility, that he didn't worry about himself, nor his respect, nothing. Then the level of submission he gave to the Amir, that he did this, right? He didn't make a noise about it, because when he went out, when he went in, then he made sure that he covered his face properly. Otherwise, the Amir would have recognized him. He took a horse from the Amir, and he somehow camouflaged the horse as well. And he went. So he camouflaged the horse, camouflaged himself that he may not be recognized. He went, and he did what he was supposed to be doing. He came back straight and changed himself. What do you see? The itaad, the level of respect to the Amir, without wanting and expecting any type of self-recognition. This is ujb, self-admiration, self-recognition. Don't worry about it. You have to work for Islam. Right? When this, Khayati Yafsar, he mentioned a couple of good times, when differences were carrying on, League and Congress, Al-Mu'an Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah on one side, and Hazrat Shaykhul Islam Sahib on the other side, right? Al-Mu'an Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, see, Mera ikhtilaf, Hazrat Mu'ana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah ke saath, hujjat ke upar qaim. They got shari'i reasons for having a difference with Mu'ana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah. I've got proof. He may have also proofs, but I've got proofs. And those proofs are preventing me from participating. But if these things can be answered, now look at his words. Main unki jamaat mein adna sipahi ban karke rehne ke liye taiyar. If these things are cleared up, then I don't mind working as a foot soldier, as a lowest ranking soldier under his banner. But see now, the respect. And then see the whole mindset is Islam, not personality. Islam, not personality. I ask you, when there's a clash between personality and Islam, then what goes through our mind? My personality. What happens to my personality? Right? My izzat. Pamal ho jayega. Person not coming for namaz, alright. But don't tramp my toes. See, my toes is too auspicious, too valuable. Don't tramp my toes. Don't do this to me. Leave your namaz, alright. But now, that personality. See that personality, that ego. That is the thing that you come here to go smash down. Otherwise, you can't get that progress. This ego. See this. Nowadays they call it attitude. Ego, attitude, self-admiration, pride, arrogance, all one jamaat. There's no two different jamaats. One jamaat. And that thing has to be somehow smashed down. Smash it here, smash it that side, smash it down. Somehow or the other, just smash it down. And that has to, that will happen when you're going for that specialist treatment. You can't tell a doctor now, you know, I got a heart problem, so now I'll be in the madrasa, come and sort me out. You know, I have to go for a heart operation, do it here. I must go to your rooms, and then I must go through that hunger strike for 5 days or 4 days, don't eat anything, clean my system up, then you put me on the machine and all that, and cut me. Just do it here. I'm in the street, I do it. Well, what's the big deal? Will the doctor listen to you? No, you have to go for a full treatment. So the same here, this type of a specialized treatment has to be done by someone that knows about this, administered. But that requires that level of humility with a deep sense of appreciation. Then it can happen. But it can't happen. It can't work out. Higher than you're getting problems upon problems. Now look, when a person has got the interest of Islam, he's a different person altogether. At every point, he's got a different understanding. One American, he was doing his thesis on Islam, right? So he had to go to different libraries to become a doctorate. So he's going to different libraries throughout the world, Germany, here, fala, fala, fala. At the end, he came to Algeria. Just about 2 weeks before his departure, returned to America. He's there, he's completing his whole thesis, he's completing before he can deliver his papers. So here he says, you know, that was the changing point in my life, my visit to Algeria. Because I saw one type of a shoe that was very comfortable, right? I was extremely comfortable. I said, he named the price, I'll give it to him. I went to that grand store, one of the best, I selected the shoe. But the boss told me, see, there's a person there on the pavement, you buy the same shoe from him, exactly the same, brand, size, quality, everything. No one to buy it from you because you're more recognized. No. You buy it from him. 3-4 times the haggling, and I'm giving you the business, take the money of your choice, but I want to buy it from you. So buy it from you. But why? See that Islam, personality, ego, pride, arrogance, one side, and Rasulullah's teaching is in front. So you see, our Rasulullah has taught us to be kind, considerate to the next person, neighbor, Muslim, non-Muslim, but to be considerate, to be kind. Right? I'm seeing the customers are just pouring to my shop, going out, buying, going. I can see the poor, my neighbor, he's not doing anything. I can't see any sales for him. And we have got an obligation towards our neighbors. We have got an obligation towards our neighbors that we submit first to him than to our own personal gain and personal respect. This will be a respect. A doctor came here to do the business. He bought the sandal. I have a name for myself. But this will be a name in the honor of the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I will prefer that against my ego, my name, my reputation. He said, that really, really affected my heart. But I saw the theory, I saw everything. I wrote the whole thesis, I wrote the whole thing. But Islam alive, I saw it with this man here. That was the thing that turned my whole approach towards Islam. So what people need to see today is how much do we give ourselves for Islam. One is for ourselves, our pride, for our reputation, and how much are we giving ourselves for Islam, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. That's what I say, that requires some degree of love. The love has to come to the level of ecstasy, right? Intoxication. Then that person can be maneuvered very, very easily. This side, that side, give the shape of your... Otherwise now, you're trying, but you're not getting anywhere. Tamil Sahib Rahmat says that laakho zikr kar lo, durood sharif par lo, lekin jab tak ke fana na ho, kuch nahi. When I read that article, I got a marker there. Laakho durood sharif par lo, laakho tasbih par lo. Lekin tabiat mein fana nahi, to kuch nahi. You don't have that fana in you, that humility. You can't make that progress. See that, how much he's emphasizing, impressing on the humility. Fana, You know, just humble yourself, soften yourself. There must be a reason, right? About three or four places where Allah says Bashir. One is Sabirin, give them good news. Muhsinin, give them good news. I'll explain the class that we hear this Muhsinin, right? But what it really means? Bala man aslama wajhahu wa huwa muhsinun, right? Submission with ihsan, right? Kataba Allahu al ihsana fi kulli shayin fa idha dhabahtum fa ahsinu al-dhibha, right? Again, ahsinu. So everywhere Allah Pak is using this one here, ihsan. That is now the prerequisite for the acceptance. So you want acceptance, right? We don't want just an abundance of works, but more than that, we want what is acceptance. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu say, if I got to know that my one deed, my one subhanallah, one deed is accepted, that is better for me than all the world. Just one deed. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So, one place, muhsin, right? Bashir, give him good news. One place, sabirin, bashiri sabirin. One place, bashiril mukhbitin. Mukhbitin again, the same, humility. Look at the tafsir. Mukhbitin, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, right? And then, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَخْبَتُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ. Again, they pliant, they soft, they Rasulullah's ways were such. Layyinul janib, soft. Right? Da'im al bishra, smiling. Right? Easy to work with. Layyinul janib, right? And da'im al bishra. An approachable person, easy to work with, very easy to work with, right? Then, again the hadith says, Laysa bi ayyabin. He doesn't find faults. I'm looking at your faults. What are your faults? I'm looking at your faults. Wala sakhabin fil aswar. What's shouting around, right? Wala mushahin. He's not miserly. Right? See that? Laysa bi fazzin ghaliz. He's not aggressive, impolite. See, these are all sifat al sakhab. Laysa bi fazzin, wala ghalizin, wala mushahin. And taraka nafsahu ala salat. So I say this to the students, if you can go from here, at least learn this, put this hadith into place. At least put this into place. Taraka nafsahu, he committed himself to three things. He was never a proud person. Iqbar. Al-Iqbar, never. From the beginning to the end, you won't see this man to be proud. Man is not right, personality. This great person, personality. You won't find him to be ever proud, humble, approachable, soft, gentle, but not ever aggressive. Not ever aggressive. You won't find him. Yes, even tuhika hurmatullah. If it is that the command of Allah Ta'ala was violated, then intaqama li hurmatillah. Then he would retaliate in defense. But for his personal self, he's not concerned. You hurt him, whatever, he's not concerned. But if it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, then it's a different thing altogether. Now he has to stand in defense of the command of Allah Ta'ala. So then he's committed himself to three things. One is no, at no time you find him to be proud. Watarkal mira. And then the second thing is he committed himself never into an argument, into a debate, into an argument. So if you're running up to Ramadan, please get these things in order. To get the maximum, you see. See, like, you've got a business, right? And it's a season. So, you will see that the whole business is arranged well in advance, right? Well in advance. So when the season comes, you're not running around for this, I need this, I need that. You are there, you prepare to see your clientele. So, Ramadan is that time, you just need to draw. But then for that, you need to work for that. You need to prepare yourself, you need to arrange yourself. So that when Ramadan comes, you are well arranged. The third thing, the second thing is no mira, no fighting. I ask you, you fight with someone, you argue with the person. You, fighting, arguing, disputing, right? Right? Can your namaz, can you get the proper concentration in your namaz? In your zikr, can you be right? In your dua, can you be right? In your Quran study, can you be right? In your namaz, can you be right? But for the lousy argument, and you just wanted your word to prevail over his word. You know, I must have the last say. Just for that, you went into this argument. When I said, right, Allah knows best, forget him now. That was an easy way, right? Allah knows best, I make him maaf, forget. And use Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's example, when someone came to shout at him, so right, one of two things, I am right or you right. If you are right, may Allah forgive me. And if I am right, then may Allah forgive you. He left anything left for the person. But now that can happen only to that person. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَتِهُمْ يُوقِنُونَ When you have got that akhirat in your mind. When you know what Allah has got for you in the akhirat, then you can do it. But the akhirat is just a dream, one of those things. You just kept it as one of those things. You haven't got that level of respect, that consciousness of the akhirat, what damage you're doing. Yes, your money now is getting involved, your premises getting involved, you get very affected. My premises, my place. So my money is getting affected. So that you got a lot of respect for that. But your amal are getting destroyed because of you kept malicing, jealousy, hatred, inciting one against the other, scoring points, trying to smash the person down, right? Kya. So your heart is not right. You didn't come on the stand of قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You haven't won. So this morning I had to explain one person, you know, showing some family problem. I said, might as well you make it viral, right? But isme kya milega? What will you get from that? And now look at the Quranic teaching. What is the Quranic teaching? قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. Good words, polite words, good words. And overlooking of faults, right? Good words and overlooking faults. That person slandered Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He slandered his daughter, right? Aisha. Abu Bakr is naturally affected. Naturally, obviously will be affected. Not only because of it being his daughter, but because of the respect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what this man has done. He's naturally affected. And added to all that, Abu Bakr is giving him monthly allowance. Giving him allowance monthly. And now this man comes and slanders the daughter, his daughter, and the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's affected. Can you imagine how much he'll be affected? So now, hey, I'm just going to discontinue this. And the verse of the Quran to him, لا يعتري قُلْ فَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ People of excellence, people of influence, wealth, affluence, excellence and affluence, right? They mustn't swear against oath. They mustn't swear on oath. They mustn't swear on oath against helping ulil qurba, relatives, etc. Now, the Sahaba Ikram was a different people altogether. Don't ever compare yourself to them. Look at Abu Bakr's immediate response. No, now I'll never stop that stipend right till the day of Qiyamah. Right till the day I die or he dies, I'm not going to stop this. And I'll increase it. But as an immediate response, I will think, oh, let me think about it. And nowadays, now the more sophisticated word is, let me sleep about it. We'll sleep over it tomorrow, we'll tell you. That's the new style. And here, when he hears this, he understands. Good words and covering the faults. Whatever it was, can you imagine now how you must have felt at that time? Is your daughter, right? And a man is slandering, right? And then it's the wife of Rasulullah Sallallahu. How he must have felt? What must have gone in his mind, right? No, I want it. But قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفُ وَمَغْفِرُ Good words covering faults. It's better than charitable works that are followed with hurt and pain. So I told the person, this is too beautiful. I don't need any more advice. I felt very, very good for the person. So, mashallah, the Quranic ayah took so much of effect. You're not an alim, but I read the verse, explained to him. You see, good words covering the faults. Many a times we can cover the faults, and we don't even have to explain the sheikh about this thing. You need to see everything enormous. Everything was tell the Sheikh. But if it is that your rights are violated, right, and in the process you need to cover his fault, finish. Don't mention it. Why spoil the Sheikh's heart? Is there a need to spoil it? You cover it now, finish class, end of story. So you've made the person mouth, you covered the thing, end of story. Chalo. Jao. Raste ko chalo. Allah Tami Sabrah says, you see, we don't read this Malfuzat, we don't study these things there, don't try and digest it. Every WhatsApp we can read, every message we can read, what's happening in Gaza, all that, and we won't give one cent of any good towards them. Yeah, we'll talk about it. So we're talking about it, we're controlling the situation that side. That's how we feel. Right. So he says, right, Mazi or Mustaqbil? Don't worry about the Mazi, don't worry about the Mustaqbil. Of the past and the future. Because the past is past, khalas, can you do anything about it? Mustaqbil tere ikhtiyar mein nahi hai. The future is in your control. So don't you get yourself involved in the past, nor in the Mustaqbil. For the past you did wrong, make tawbah, cry as much as you can cry, and then leave it. Don't you deliberately meditate over the past. Don't deliberately. Because it may seem to be a good thing, but it can become an impediment on your progress. Yeah, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. So Allah created you for His remembrance, or for you to reflect over all your past. What He created you. You made Tawbah now. Now He's going to perhaps take you to a point of despondency and depression. I did this now. No chance for me. Khalas now. I did this now, is there any hope left for me? So your constant reflection to most people brings about depression and despondency. So leave the past. Cry. Then if the thought just surfaces again in your mind, make istighfar again. Finish and carry on. You deliberately you go and think about this. Yeah, man, you know, I used to be watching this movie and I saw all that porn, all that. Now, can there be anything for me? It can either lead you to depression and despondency, or you'll have flashbacks of the past. Hey, but that girl was something, man, you know. Can't it happen? We are human, right? Can't it happen? And you won't realize, you take some discreet pressure. Hey, but she was something, man. Hey. So, see, the Busulgara, they open the way for us. You can't stop making dua for them. You can't stop respecting them and making dua. They made the road so clear. So, leave the past. And the future is not in your control. No, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this. Big hopes and big plans. Right? If I were in Syria, I would have done this. If I were in Gaza, I would have done this. Right? But now, you're not in Gaza and you're not doing anything. The future is not in your control. So, have you done anything constructive? So, Ma says, now, what you can do with the present, how much you can do that much. You're not there and you're not here. So, where are you then? And what is within your control? Mu'adh then says, this path here is not a path of despondency and depression. Right? There's a lot of hope. And he says, Allah Ta'ala ki zaat bari kareem or raheem. He is most gracious. Don't you understand? I don't talk of all these stories here. Put yourself into depression and put other people into despondency. I say, is that the way of Rasulullah Pasan? He would say, bashiru wa la tunafiru. Give people, encourage people. Don't give them, don't turn them away. What? Give them encouragement. Keep encouraging them. Don't turn them away from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. There's still hope for you. Even there's 2 minutes left for you to live. But give the person some hope. You don't know in that last minute, he may just make tawbah and istighfar. He may just come better than you. What do you know? His love for Allah Ta'ala may surpass everybody else. Who knows about it? Who knows? So that was the first teaching of Rasulullah, Iqbar and Mira. And I say this thing is too damaging. It's arguments, discussing. Right? Just forgive. Khalas, end of story. Is there anything left now? Any grievance? Right? His personal life, are you responsible? Lasta alayhim bimusaytir. Are you sent to be responsible of that person? Are you responsible? When you're responsible, why are you assuming that to be your responsibility? When you're not responsible, why assuming it to be your There's a lot of other things, a lot of other wrongs going on. Then why do you make yourself responsible for this? That means your intention is flawed. Because you want to strike a point and show that I'm better than him. Smash him down and I will thrive. See that? So these discrete feelings of jealousy, pride, really, they need to be smashed down. Otherwise, taqul hasanat, all your good deeds all get eaten up. You don't even realize. And the third thing he says, that Rasulullah kept himself committed to, was layani, right? Things that didn't concern him. Right? You know, it would seem that Rasulullah was super intelligent from the very beginning. You know, it takes us so much of time to understand the wisdom in all these things here. But Allah gave him that understanding, that reasoning, that was far, far, far above the highest of men, you know. One is normal human, one is intelligent, and one is the highest genius. So his understanding and his ingenuity had only commenced where the highest ingenuity of man ends up. That way it commenced. That was the starting point. So see the points he brought up. Pride. And ulama say that this pride and arrogance, really, it's a sign of stupidity. It's a sign of backwardness. It's a sign of a person not being clever enough. Pride. Because now, you understand what you were. Right? What were you? Just some dust, right? And what you're going to be, right? And what can happen to you in a moment? I say, now you are thinking too much, confident of yourself, right? Because you see yourself in the masjid, namaz, qurta, all that. But in a second, what can happen to you? So can you have any type of a guarantee or assurance that I will be like this in the next second? So can there be anything to be proud about? Then everything to be about, humble about. Allah, please, Lord, give me this hidayat. Allah, just keep me on. Keep me on board, please. So then, are you going to get stuck with other people? Are you going to be so concerned, consumed about yourself? But, you know, Allah, you keep me, please. I won't be able to manage. I will definitely get lost. You keep me. You secure me. See how the mind works after that. But that comes with the barakat of tawazu. And see the teaching of Rasulullah SAW. Laysa bi sakhabin, laysa bi fazin, wala ghalizin, wala ayyabin, wala mushahin. Yadfawu as-sayya bi-sayya, la yadfawu as-sayya bi-sayya. So, what is Mubarak tariqah? What was his style? Don't we read it, don't we reflect, don't we understand, and then see, are we applying ourselves to that or not? Do we apply ourselves? Or, we think, no, I learned that bayan, I know it very well, so I've got it. It's a different thing. You learn the manual for swimming is different. But that makes you a qualified swimmer. Can you say that you're a good swimmer? You learn the manual for driving, it makes you an expert driver. Can you say that? No, you can't. Came out first, you know, that manual, I came out first. I go behind the wheel, you see, you come first of all. So one is learning all that, that's where we have gone off. We've learned those little bit of bayans here, there, and all that. Now, everybody likes my bayan. They accepting my bayan, so I am a chip above the rest. Above. So that's going too deep in the mind. But now, in my place, I can't stop it. I can see now, there's so much of jahalat, and someone needs to go and fill the vacuum. But then, we need to understand that we need to get ourselves fixed up. Otherwise, with time, what will happen, we'll become a permissive society. So this person is talking to girls, it's not so bad. You can find something in the hadith, you know. And this person is doing something, photography. Well, there is some interpretation, you know. So we'll go into that permissive, liberal-minded. All the values of our deen will all get diluted. Everything will get diluted. This is because we don't want to commit ourselves to any one single person. Take from here, draw from here. So, then I ask you then, when you're drawing from here and there and all, then are you committed to one person? Then you're the doctor of yourself then. That ilaj only comes when you're committed to one person. Allah Akbar.